We'll turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. And tonight we're going to begin an exciting series on the book of Hebrews. My subject tonight is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The key word to understanding the book of Hebrews is better. The word better is used in this book as the writer shows the superiority of Jesus Christ and his salvation over the Hebrew system of religion. We have a better covenant based on better promises. We have a better tabernacle. The Old Testament tabernacle was of this world. But Christ, he is entered into heaven itself, into the heavenly tabernacle once and for all. We have a better sacrifice. The sacrifices of the Old Testament, they were goats and bulls which could never take away our sin. They only atone for the sin. But the sacrifice of the New Testament is Christ himself, our sacrificial lamb who takes away the sin of the world. We have a better priesthood. The Old Testament priest could enter the holiest of holies only once a year after he had offered a sacrifice for himself and for the people. But Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down at the right hand of the Father in heaven itself as the mediator and high priest of the new covenant. You know, the book of Hebrews, the author is unknown. Many people have attributed it to the Apostle Paul. And though many people question this, this book is marked with many of the revelations that Paul gives in his epistles. And having studied the new creation realities and the Word of God, I am of the opinion myself that Paul is certainly the author of the book of Hebrews. If not, the revelation is what he shows us about Christ. Let's begin and read the entire chapter, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of his majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. But unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. I love this verse, speaking of our Lord Jesus. Verse 9, it says, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as a garment, and as a vesture, as a cloak, shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall never fail, or your years will never end. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them or to serve them who shall be heirs of salvation? My subject tonight is all about Jesus. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that during this study, you will pull the veil back and we will see, Lord, the importance of our relationship in Christ, what he has done, and what the author of the book of Hebrews was trying to convey to that Jewish church, Lord, that he wrote this book to. Lord, seat us in heavenly places. Open our minds. Give us revelation of who we are in Christ and the perfection of his work and how we are perfected through Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said in Jesus' name, Amen. The book of Hebrews, it was originally written to the Jewish converts. They were struggling with their newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There were Jews who were tempting them and who were persecuting them and trying to get them to go back to their old ways of the Jewish laws and the Jewish custom. They were trying to make these Jewish Christians think that they had lost their altar, the priesthood, and the sacrifices by accepting Christianity. But the apostle proves they had only lost the Old Testament types to be given the true and living substance of Jesus Christ himself. Hebrews was written to show the all-surpassing excellence of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. It was written to warn believers about departing from the living God and going back and neglecting so great a salvation. This is a great salvation that we have received. In the Old Testament, it only had shadows and types. And the prophets that spoke there, they spoke of the coming Messiah. And so when these Judaizers came in and tried to convince these converts to go back to their old ways, the apostle decided to write and to tell them what they had received in Christ. Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who at sundry various times in divers manners in different ways, he spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet. They had a rich, rich heritage, these Old Testament saints. God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed out of all things, by whom also he made the world. He spoke in times past by the prophet, but now God speaks through the Son. Abraham, Isaac, and all of these Old Testament saints, and then how God began to speak through Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and all of these prophets. That was a wonderful heritage, but the writer is saying God is now speaking to people through his Son. Amen. And then he says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now look at verse 3, talking about the Son, who is the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sin, set down at the right hand of his majesty on high. I remember on a skiing trip, I had gone out, and one of the ministers on that, he had never skied, neither had I at the time, and he went through the course. And I just got real brave. I got on the lift, and I went right on up to the top. And I wiped out three or four times, but I finally learned how to ski. And up later that evening, this minister got on the lift with me. He said, man, I'm afraid on this lift. He said, suppose this thing falls. I said, I'm not worried about it falling. I said, the Bible says God upholds all things by the word of his power. So that was meaningful to me, because when I first got on that, you know, I'd never been on one of those lifts, but I had no fear because I knew that God is in control. Amen. Now, as you read the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the prominent figure on every page of the book of Hebrews. But this is not true of all the other books of the New Testament. In the book of Acts, the apostles, the disciples, and the Jews and the pagans, they are predominant. In Romans, the doctrine of justification by faith, that's what attracts our attention. In the other letters, the church and its problems, they are considered. But in the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he is the central figure. As the writer shows, he is greater than the prophet. He is greater than the angels. He is greater than Moses, greater than Joshua, greater than Aaron, greater than any of those Old Testament prophets. And the reason the writer uses these comparisons is because all of these people, they held a place of great importance in the Jewish religion. God had revealed himself in the past through the prophets, but they all spoke about Jesus. But the apostle said, in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The first three verses of chapter 1, they contain eight statements about the Son. First of all, He is the one through whom God reveals Himself. Secondly, He is appointed heir of all things. Thirdly, He is the one by whom all things were made. Fourthly, He is the brightness of God's glory. Fifthly, He is the expressed image of God's person. Sixthly, He upholds all things by the word of His power. Seventhly, He has purged our sins by the sacrifice of Himself. And eighthly, He sat down at the right hand of His majesty on high. Now, in the Old Testament, God spoke to the Jewish nation through the prophet. But God has spoken to all of us through His Son. Amen. In times past, He spoke to the Jews by His prophets. But now, in the last days, God is giving a universal invitation, and He's talking to everyone. Whosoever will, let him come. Amen. And He is talking to us through His Son. Look at Hebrews 1 and 14. 1:4, rather. Being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Verse 6, and again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels worship him. And of the angels he said, which maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So the angels, they are not superior to Jesus. They worship Jesus. He is the one we are to worship. He is the one who paid the ultimate sacrifice. He is the one who shed His blood. And God spoke through all those Old Testament prophets and the priesthood and everything. It was pointing to Christ. But the writer of Hebrews, he is telling these Jewish Christians, you need to hold on to what you've got and you don't need to go back. Now, we'll talk about drifting away in this study. We'll talk about going back. It's always been in man's nature for some reason to go back. But as we get to the sixth chapter, we'll see the prophet say, let us go on to perfection, not laying again certain foundations. So that's what this study is all about. It's about us understanding the priesthood of Christ, understanding Him, how He ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, in heaven itself, how He ever lives to make intercession for you and me. It's going to be a very exciting step. Amen. Now, God gave Jesus a better name. He gave Him a name above every name when He raised Him from the dead. I love to quote those scriptures in Philippians. But in verse 1 of Hebrews, it says, the Son is better than the prophets. In verse 4, He says He is better than the angels and has a more excellent name than the angels. God highly exalted Jesus Christ. God gave Him a name above every name. I know the angels, they announced His birth. In Luke it says, for unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the angel said, they shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. But God gave Him a name above every name. God told the angel to tell the people, they shall call His name Jesus. God gave Him that name, amen. God exalted that name. The angel was only a messenger. They're messengers, ministering spirit, sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. Read Hebrews chapter 2, or Philippians chapter 2, and you can see a clear picture of that. But on three occasions in the New Testament, God gave witness to His Son. He gave Him His name, but He gave witness. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, the heavens opened, the Holy Ghost descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and then the Father spoke. Look at Matthew 3:17. Says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was transformed. with the glory he had at the beginning. And his face, it shined like the sun in its noonday strength. That's why the writer of Hebrews says he is the brightness of God's glory. They saw the glory on that mountain. And Peter, he wanted to build three tabernacles. One for Moses, the greatest of the lawgivers. One for Elijah, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And one for Jesus. But look at this. Look at Matthew 17 and 5. While he yet spake, while Peter was talking, behold, a bright light overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now, on another occasion in John chapter 12, Jesus, he begins to talk about his death. Look at John 12, 23. Jesus said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And God spoke and he said, through you I have glorified my name and I will glorify it again." So God gave him a name above every name. And the writer of Hebrews, he is letting us know who Jesus is. That Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and he is the express image of his person. And just as we recognize the sun, we recognize the sun in the sky by the light that shines from the sun. We recognize the Father by the glory that emanates from his Son. Aren't you glad for Christ in you, the hope of glory? We have a new and a better covenant established upon better promises. And that's what the book of Hebrews is about. It uses that word better 13 different times. Amen. The writer says, look at this. In our position. Okay? John 17, 21. I went back to look at this because I thought about Jesus and his high priestly prayer. Jesus is praying. He knows the cross is before him. And he goes out and he's praying to the Father. It's the high priestly prayer of John 17. Look at John 17, 21. Jesus is praying. He said, "Father, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." And look at verse 22. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Now, we know Isaiah said he will not share his glory with another. But what I want you to see here is we are not another. We are special children of God. And Paul talks about the mystery that God had hidden for ages, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I know where the glory of God is. The glory of God is in God's people because you are the tabernacle of the living God. I know a lot of people don't understand this, but God says through Jeremiah, he said, "I will walk in them." He's talking about the new covenant. "I will dwell in them." He said, "I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Paul comes back in a later epistle, and he says, "In him, in Christ, we live, we move, and we have our being." So Jesus was praying that his people, those that were redeemed by the blood, that they would understand their position in Christ, that they are one with him, one with the Father, one with the Son, one with the Holy Ghost. We are God's temple, and the glory of God resides inside of God's people. If you can ever get that revelation, it will help you in your walk with God. Not only will it help you in your walk with God, it will help you to understand your position when you began to pray, that God chose not to dwell in tabernacles made with hand. God says, "No, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hand. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool. He said, hath not my hands made all things." He said, "You are the temple of the living God." And God wanted to put his glory in his people. That's why it's so important that we go on. That we don't have to lay, again, a foundation of repentance from dead works. Oh, no, we need to be perfected in Christ so we can be a sanctified vessel. The Bible says in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but some of wood and some of clay. We don't all have the same gifts. But God says if there are vessels of gold and vessels of silver, he said there are some vessels to honor and some to dishonor. And he says if a vessel purge himself from these, the things of dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto God, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. That's why we need to walk in holiness. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The pure in heart shall see God. And the writer of Hebrews, he is showing us Christ in his high priestly position now and beginning to open up to us our position in Christ. Very exciting book to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. The writer says we have a new and a better covenant established upon better promises. Now Christ is in us through a new and a living way, through his blood. The new and the living way is through his blood. Amen. The blood of Christ. What the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers could never do, God made one sacrifice when the sacrificial lamb, Jesus, laid his life down for us. Amen. And now we have a living way. He ever lives. He's alive at the right hand. He's not a dead sacrifice. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He ascended to the highest point in the universe. Put his blood on the mercy seat there in the heavenly tabernacle. Right there at the throne of God. God accepted the blood. The gavel of justice came down. God's justice has been satisfied. And he said, anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. What all those other sacrifices couldn't do, Jesus did through the sacrifice of himself once and for all. And he entered into heaven itself. And I want you to know tonight, when you can't find somebody else to pray for you, when you wish, I wish I could get in touch with the pastor or with an evangelist, or I could get in touch with one of those prayer towers. Let me tell you, you have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who ever lives to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And he gave you the Holy Ghost so you could pray when you don't know how to pray. Amen. Jesus earned the right to send the Holy Ghost to his church. He wants the church to be filled with his Spirit. God filled him with the Spirit. Amen. When he was baptized, the Holy Ghost came, and the Bible says it lighted upon him, it remained upon him. And when he went back to the Father, in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, that which you see shed abroad here, this is what he has done. He received from the Father the right to take the gift of the Holy Ghost and send it to his body, the church. Hallelujah. This book is full of some rich, rich revelation. And when you begin to take the Bible and put it all together, and that's why I say it's marked with Paul's revelation throughout. And you'll see that as this study develops. Amen. But Christ has given us a new and a better covenant established upon better promises through a new and a living way. And we are his temple. We are filled with his glory. We are filled with his anointing. And we are filled with his power. Turn it loose. Hallelujah. God has highly exalted him. And we have access through him to the glory of God. Glory, glory, glory. Look at Hebrews 1 and 8. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is thy scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. Verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. Now, we know that Christ was there in the beginning. We just sang the song, the Ancient of Days. He is the Ancient of Days. He was there. He created all things, and through him and by him were all things made that were made. And let's look at some scripture. Look at John 1, verse 1. This is the scripture that God woke me with when I was a young Christian, and he told me to learn his word. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3 says, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And John goes on and tells us, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He said, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten of the Father. He was with the Father in the eons of eternity. He is the I Am. We're doing a study on the book of John. We'll start seeing, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the resurrection and the life. He loved to talk about himself as the I Am. He was giving us revelation, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. And then the writer of Hebrews, he comes along, he tries to put it into one whole for us. And that's why this is such an exciting book to me. Amen. Now, in John said all things were made by him. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Paul said, I am sent to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, Ephesians 3 and 9. Look at this. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, look at this, who created all things by Christ Jesus. So John said he created all things. Paul said he created all things. And it was hid in God. The Bible says if the devils, if the princes of this world had known the mystery of God, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When they nailed Jesus to that cross, 3 days he was in the tomb, and after that, God sent the Holy Ghost into the region of darkness, raised him from the dead, up from the grave he arose, the mighty conqueror of his foes, he rose from the dead in the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, he arose. And he's alive today, amen. And God created all things by Christ. He was there in the beginning. And the mystery that if the devils had known this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. If the devil had known, when Jesus was crucified, and the disciples, they ran and they were in hiding, the devil thought he had it made. He said, at least he's not on this planet to do anything. He can't mess up my works anymore. But little did he know that on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after, on that 50th day, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost, Jesus got the right, earned the right through his death, suffering, on that cross. He earned the right to get the gift of the Holy Ghost and send it to his church. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. They went out of that little upper room and they began to preach Jesus. And they turned their world upside down. The devil said, well, I've killed him. He's gone. And then all of a sudden he had 120 men and women that looked like Jesus, act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, did the works of Jesus, and they turned the world upside down. And the writer of Hebrews is talking to us about this exalted one. Paul talks about him in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. But being formed and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. When he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand, put all principality and power under his feet, has raised us up together, made us sit together with him in Christ Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Go on and praise him. I told you this book is laced with Paul's revelation. Throughout this book of Hebrews, you will see the remarks and the revelation that Paul gives to the church. Amen. Look at Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The Father wants the church to know what Jesus did, who Jesus is, and who you are in Christ. Amen. Now, the Hebrew writer, he says, Thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hand. Now look at Hebrews 1, verse 11. They shall perish. We know that this earth is going to be renovated. We know it's going to be renovated with fire. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as dust a garment. Verse 12. And as a vesture, a cloak, shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Your years will never end. He is the eternal Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. Verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, the angels, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Think about the people you pray for. Say, Father, send angels. Say, in the name of Jesus, I send angels. I dispatch angels, ministering spirits, to go and minister to the people I'm praying for, to my seed, to my children, to my family. I'm an heir. I have covenant. You said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house, the whole house. God says, thy children, he said, I'll call your children from the land of the enemy. He said, thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. God is a generational God, and he's wanting us to realize that our children are our seed. And just as we accepted that covenant, and when we do, then the Bible says the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness to the children's children. You want to know the power of the blood covenant? God said, because you accepted my son, I don't want you to go back. I want you to go on and realize who you are, that I am going to touch your entire family. I've seen them come down that had rejected Jesus, and I've seen them on that deathbed way up in age, hard men that would not even pray, so full of pride. And then when they're dying, you talk to them. And they say, yes, I believe. I had one individual, I didn't think he was ever going to pray that prayer. But he was dying, he knew he was dying. But at the very last, he said, yes, I believe. I mean, why wouldn't you believe? Why would you be so full of pride and so full of arrogance that you would reject the only hope of eternal life, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? And God is so good and so great that the whole Godhead, I talked about the Trinity Sunday morning, God the Trinity, that the entire Trinity is involved in our salvation. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for a friend. And he was made sin with our sin, so we could be made the righteousness of God in him. And then in Revelation chapter 21, the Bible says, and the Spirit says, come. And the bride, come. Let him that hear it say, come. and whosoever will let him take of the water of life freely. So the entire Godhead, because of the power of the blood and the price that was paid for man's eternal salvation, the entire Godhead is involved in the work of our salvation. God continues to call. How many of you know that he calls and he calls and he calls? And even when we do wrong and we go astray. See, God keeps his part of the covenant, but a blood covenant, it has two parties. And it's important that both parties keep part of the covenant. If either party breaks the covenant is disannulled. But God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And he keeps calling and he keeps calling and he keeps calling. But man must respond. Because if you break covenant, you see, an animal was cut. The animal was sacrificed. It was killed. A life was given. And when you come into blood covenant, you're saying, if it's my life, I will give my life to protect you. When you have covenant with someone, I will, anything I have is yours. All that you have is mine. And that's the power of the blood covenant. Man breaks the covenant, but God, he never breaks it. And God sends the Holy Ghost to talk to us and to woo us and to call us to repentance. He's a great God. It's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But now, today is the day of salvation. He said, don't harden your hearts like they did back there in that old covenant, that Old Testament church. He said, accept the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. In this book of Hebrews, the superiority of Christ is seen over and over. The superiority of Christ over the angels is seen in verse 4. He has a more excellent name. In verse 5, his superiority is seen in his relationship to the Father. In verse 6, his superiority is seen in his right to be worshipped. We don't worship angels. We don't worship men. We worship God. And in verse 6, his superiority is seen in his right to be worshipped. In verse 13, his superiority is seen in his place of exaltation. Christ, the Son of God, is seated at the right hand of God. The right hand is the hand of authority. The name of Jesus carries authority in three worlds, in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And he has given to his church the right to use his name. We have been given the use of his name. Peter says, this man that was lame, they said, how was he healed? He said, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole, whom you see and know. You know he was lame. How did he get healed? Just the name of Jesus was spoken. How do you get saved? You speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How do you get delivered? You call on the name of Jesus. And how do you deliver the captive? Say, in Jesus' name, be free. That name carries power in three worlds. I had a young man tell me the other day. He said, I was in church. He said, I had demons in me. He said, and they spoke the name. He said, and I saw demons leave. He said, on another occasion, he said, I saw. He said, I woke up and I was afraid. It's like the demons had control of me. He said, all I could say was Jesus. He said, I said Jesus, and it all left. That's the power of that name. If you call on the name of Jesus, it does not matter how far down you go. God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And at his name, every knee must bow. You need to understand that when you're praying for people. When you say, come out, you don't have to scream. You don't have to yell. You take your position in Christ. It's his name that delivers the captive. I've gone in homes where people were cursing and fussing at one another. I say, stop. We need to get on our knees and pray in Jesus' name. And everything changed when I said in Jesus' name. I mean, it shocked me the first time I did it. That's power in that name. Because God has highly exalted that name. Amen. And he is exalted to his high priestly position in heaven. Now, in this letter, it was written to assure the Jews that they had not lost anything by accepting Christ. They were rich in their religious tradition. They had not lost anything, but they had gained the greatest gift of all, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. In Christianity, we don't lose anything, but we receive everything. Because we become children of God and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. To be a joint heir doesn't mean that you just get half of everything. No, it means you get anything that's there. You get it all if you need it. Hallelujah. That's how great our God is. Amen. So in the New Testament, we see Christ's work on earth and we see Christ's work in heaven. Now, in the epistles, pretty much we see him healing, delivering his work on earth. We see him going to the cross. But in the book of Hebrews, we see Christ's work in heaven. And that's important. We need to understand both sides of his work. It is not enough that we understand the truth of repentance and salvation. Now, that'll get you to heaven. But we need to understand Christ and his high priestly ministry as he represents us at the throne of grace in the heavenly tabernacle itself. Now, Christ has purged us from our sin, and he has opened the way into the heavenly sanctuary to the very throne room of God. Christ himself is our high priest. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a high priest, but that priesthood ended with their death. But we don't have just a high priest. We have a great high priest, and his priesthood is eternal because he ever lives to make intercession for the saints of God. Hallelujah. Look at this, Hebrews 4:14. We'll fast track it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or our confession of faith. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Verse 16, I love this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Do you have a need? Are you in a time of need? God says, because of the blood of Jesus and because Christ is seated at the right hand of his majesty on high, Lord and high priest of the new covenant, you can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in your time of need. Whatever your need, the Father loves you. And the Father has exalted the Son so that we don't have to go into an Old Testament tabernacle. We go into heaven itself through a new and living way, through the blood and the resurrection and the seating of Christ. If you get a chance this week, I think at the Tabernacle Church here, they have that Old Testament sanctuary set up, and they're going to leave it up because of the rain here. Go out and visit that. I'm sure it will make you appreciate the fact you don't have to go and get an animal. You don't have to slay it. You don't have to prepare it. You don't have to put it on an altar. You don't have to take it to a priest. You don't have to spend all that time doing that. You just go to the throne of grace because Jesus has made it possible. We have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, and he ever lives to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Jews in the Old Testament, they could not approach God and go into the holiest of holies. That's why the writer of Hebrews is showing them they have a much better covenant. They could not, they were not allowed, they had to have a high priest to approach God and go into the holiest of holies. Only the high priest could do that. And not only that, he could only do it once a year. After he had offered a sacrifice for himself and for the people. But today, God invites all of us to come boldly to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Christ has made it possible for us to enter into heaven itself, into God's very throne room, through a new and a living way. After he had offered one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. He cried from the cross, "It is finished," and his work of redemption, it has all been completed. Our great high priest at the right hand of God right now, making intercession for the church. And I close with this. I like to visit the cross every day, but I don't dwell there. I don't live there at the cross, and you don't have to either. We need to visit the cross, and we need to make sure that our sins of all are under the blood. I don't live with a sin consciousness. I live with a son consciousness. And I want the church to realize what Christ has done. Don't live with a sin consciousness. Live with a son consciousness. I like to visit the cross daily, but I don't live there. And you don't have to live there either. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. We are one with him. This is part of the mystery of Paul's revelation. And that's why I said earlier, the book of Hebrews is marked with many of the revelations that are found in Paul's epistles. I'm going to close with these scriptures. Ephesians 1 and 3. Paul said, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You see that? In heavenly places, we're in Christ. Christ is in us. Look at Ephesians 2 and 6. "And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Why, Paul? "That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us." Woo! Through Christ Jesus. Christ is seated on the throne, which means our being brought into God's presence and living our lives there with him. We don't live at the cross. Christ is seated on the throne. And that means that we are brought into Christ's presence, God's presence. And we live there, seated with him. And that lets me know something. That the same share I have with Jesus on the cross, I have with Jesus on the throne. Not only am I identified with him in his crucifixion, not only are you identified with him at the cross. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And then Paul says, "We are raised up together with him, seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the glory of the cross I now share in the glory that's in the throne. Let us stand. Hallelujah. It's going to be a very exciting study. Tonight's lesson was it's all about Jesus. We're going to go through the book of Hebrews line by line. A great study. Finding out just what God has done and the new and better covenant that we have. Pastor Nick.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Oh, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love.
Your presence, Lord.
When my heart becomes free. And my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
We're the temple. Hallelujah.
Come flood this place
and
fill the
atmosphere.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
The writer of Hebrews said, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. And then he says, not only can you come to the throne, but you're seated there. Keep playing, brother. Keep playing that song. And then I want you to catch this, because this is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are the temple of the living God. You need to know that. When the storms of life hit, you need to know, I don't have to go looking for God. He's in the temple. He's in the tabernacle. He's in me. And I'm in him. Christ is here on earth in me. And I'm seated with him in glory. I'm one with him. I have a new and a better covenant. That's what the writer of Hebrews was talking about. A better sacrifice. Amen. Better promises. Christ Jesus, the mediator. The intercessor. That great high priest. Christ, the testator. There must be the death of a testator before a will can be in effect. But our testator didn't just die. He rose again. And he stands behind every promise of this book. Sing it, Pastor Nick. Hallelujah. Let's worship him, church. Glory, glory, glory. Woo! Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.